Good morning. On behalf of all of us here at St. Martin's, I just want to echo what Chad said at the beginning of our worship service today. Welcome. I can't tell you how excited we are each and every week as we get to see more and more of you returning to this place. I was telling the clergy before our service today that yesterday I went to HEB and I had my mask on. And I was in the middle of this crowded aisle when all of a sudden I sneezed. And I'd never seen a scattering of people as I did when I sneezed. I offer that to you today because I want you to know that we're tired. We're tired of this pandemic, and we're ready to reopen. And I want you to know that we as your church are committed to that reopening. But as Russ said on Easter Sunday, be patient with us because we want to do it the right way. We as your clergy miss you and we're eager to see you back. And I can assure you in the weeks to come, you're going to hear more about our reopening. So again, I bid you this day to be patient with us, because that day will soon arrive. A Sunday school teacher had just finished telling her third graders about how Jesus was crucified and placed in a tomb with a great stone sealing the opening. Then, wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection, she asked them, "And what do you think were Jesus' first words when he came bursting out of that tomb alive?" A hand shot up into the air from the rear of the classroom, and attached to it was the arm of a little girl. Leaping out of her chair, she shouted out excitedly, "I know, I know." "Good," said the teacher. "Tell us, what were Jesus' first words?" And extending her arms high into the air, she said, "Ta-da." When I was a child, often we would watch the illusionist David Copperfield. And honestly, I loved watching this guy. I marveled at what he could do. And to me, his greatest act was making things appear and disappear. On one such episode, he actually put a woman in a tall black box. Twirling it around and around, he then opened the drape, and ta-da, the box was empty. Over Easter weekend, just a couple of weeks ago, I was watching a news program in which a group of so-called panel of experts were debating the reality of the resurrection. Now, many on the panel were skeptics. They were quick to point out that in their view, the resurrection was a hoax. Other members of the panel believed that it was the truth, and they tried desperately to try to offer some historical evidence. It was clear that the doubters, each of their hearts had been hardened, and the hearts of the believers were open and full of faith. What about you? Where do you stand when it comes to the resurrection? Do you see it simply as a magic act, an illusion, or even a hoax? Or are you one who believes that this is the truth? In today's gospel lesson, which Nick read for us, we actually get a glimpse of Jesus' third appearance after rising from the dead. Though we are not told in Luke of the exact gathering place, the Gospel of John shares that the disciples were locked away in the upper room. And suddenly, out of nowhere, according to the text, Jesus himself appears. As you would imagine, this is completely unexpected. And what was even more disconcerting were those first words. Visually, they thought he was a ghost, yet the familiarity of his voice no doubt confused them even more. "Peace be with you," Jesus said. Now in Hebrew, the term peace is translated as shalom. And you have to understand that shalom is a normal greeting in the Jewish culture. It is one I'm sure Jesus used frequently with his followers. By using a familiar greeting, Jesus' hope was that they would recognize and see that it was him. As many of you know, last year, right before the beginning of the pandemic, Suze McBay and I took a group of pilgrims to the Holy Land. And one of the first things I noticed was that everywhere we went, we were greeted with shalom. One day at the hotel, I'd gotten on the elevator, and a rabbi stepped in. He looked at me, and he said, "Shalom." Curious as I was, I asked him what shalom meant. And he simply explained to me that in English it means peace. But in Hebrew it is much more significant. He said shalom is a pronouncement of God's love. When we offer another shalom, we are offering them peace or rest that only comes from God's love. He said it is translated like this. May you know of God's love and be filled with his peace. In many ways, this is a powerful statement. God himself is love. From the beginning of creation, he created all things out of this love. That each of us are created for love and created to love. And in many ways, this is our marking. Many of you know that in baptisms, after baptizing with water, the priest takes a vial of oil and carefully marks a sign of the cross on the person's forehead, marking them as Christ's own forever. This marking is a marking of love in the shape of a cross. Once a young man asked me, "Why a cross? Why do you make a sign of the cross on the forehead?" "The cross," I said, "is God's greatest act of love." In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he speaks of this love as being a garment. And along with all the virtues he lists, no virtue is greater than the virtue of love. It is what each of us have been clothed with at birth. And by being vested in love, we will know his peace. Shalom, Jesus says to those gathered. And yet they still didn't recognize him. Now this should not be a surprise. After all, in the previous 24 to 48 hours, they'd been traumatized with fear. Jerusalem was tense, as those who welcomed him on Palm Sunday were now out to get him. Jesus was arrested. He was tried, and he was brutally killed. And I'm certain each of them were wondering if this could happen to them. Not only were they traumatized with fear, but also with shame and guilt. For they knew what they had done. And yet imagine, in that very moment, Jesus came back. God himself came back. In many ways, I can't help but ask the question, why? Why in the world did Jesus come back? Think about it. He'd been scorned by those closest to him. Having been abandoned and rejected, most normal people would never have come back. Filled with resentment and even revenge, many of us would have simply written them off. Love in the form of forgiveness is the hardest thing for most of us here today. Fortunately for us, Jesus is not a normal person. Human, yes. Divine, absolutely. But certainly, he was not normal. He actually came back. John Stott, in his book, The Cross of Christ, reminds us of the significance of the cross. As a holy and just God, he ultimately is defined as love. How else can you explain the horror of the crucifixion and the emptiness of the tomb? You see, God hates sin. He hates separation. It was not a part of what he had intended. You see, he would have done anything to bridge the gap. And he actually did. The Gospel of John is so clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. For most of us gathered here today, we are no different than those early disciples. Filled with fear and guilt and shame, we have allowed our own sin to blind us. We get so caught up in what we have done that we've lost sight of what he has done. You see, for many of us, our hearts are hardened. And unfortunately, it is easier to choose suffering than it is to experience freedom. Most choose and become comfortable with Good Friday, and yet we refuse to move on to Easter Sunday. I know from personal experience how difficult this struggle can be. The trauma in my earlier life was real. The wounds were deep, and the patterns of behavior were clear. Little did I know that even as a Christian, I preferred Good Friday over Easter Sunday. Suffering was easier than freedom. And unfortunately, this is what trauma does. The good news, my brothers and sisters, is that we don't have to be stuck in Good Friday. With courage and strength and faith in God, we too can experience the empty tomb. So where are you today? Let's face it, this past year has tested us all. Many of us have been triggered, and our lives feel out of control. Marriages are struggling, and relationships with our kids are on the brink. The isolation has tested us, and to top it off, coming into this sacred space has been limited. And for some of us, our addictions are knocking at the door. Perhaps we can truly identify with the gathering of disciples as we find ourselves isolated in our own upper room. Fortunately, God gets it. And believe it or not, he sees us. God has not abandoned us, and in fact, just the opposite. And as hard as it is to see in the midst of our own suffering, God is with us. He knows our struggle, and he simply wants us to know shalom. He wants to remind us of the cross, and most especially, the empty tomb. Early in my Christian life, I was invited to hear a famous and fiery preacher named Tony Campolo. You see, this guy had a reputation of being extremely passionate for the gospel. He was energetic and loud and filled with the Spirit He would remind us that it may be Friday, but Sunday is coming. One of my guilty pleasures during the pandemic has been the discovery of TikTok. If I'm not careful, I can find myself watching these minute-long videos for hours. I can go from laughing to tearing up and crying in all a matter of a minute. The videos that move me the most are those where military personnel are returning home from deployment. One such recent video has a serviceman showing up to his son's school. In the middle of the assembly, the father walks in, and the son, barely able to contain himself, runs out of the stands and into the arms of his father. With a tear-soaked uniform, the son cries out, "You came back." And the father responded, "I promised I would." If there's any image I want you to have of this Easter season, it is this. It's the image of God holding you in his arms and reminding you that he came back. Why is this so important on this third Sunday of Easter? It's important because he promised that he would. And so today we come. We come in the busyness of our lives to this place. And we're reminded that God fulfilled his promise, and that God himself came back.